So I often describe unity as looking at Christianity through Eastern eyes. You're not going to hear many other unity ministers say that. But the interesting thing is when I say it to other unity ministers and explain why I say it, they all go, oh yeah, that makes sense. Unity co-founders Charles and Myrtle Fillmore were deeply influenced by the writing of an early 19th century Unitarian minister, Ralph Waldo Emerson. Emerson was a Unitarian minister back when the Unitarians read the Bible in church and had communion during their services. But eventually his understanding of God and God's creation, and that includes Jesus and us, evolved beyond traditional Christianity. Among the writings that he read that caused him to have this shift was the Bhagavad Gita, the Bible of India. He read it regularly. He comments on it being very important. Well, Charles and Myrtle Fillmore read the writings of Ralph Waldo Emerson and his views of Christianity. That shaped their views of Christianity and the Bible. That's why I often say that unity, even from the Fillmore tradition, is sort of like looking at the Bible and Christianity with an Eastern perspective. So I wonder what Jesus would have thought about that. Well, we'll talk about that in a minute. I want to remind you that Israel, which is where Jesus lived, is in the Middle East. Oh, what's that word? East. That's right. The Middle East is much more Eastern than it is European or even Roman. That's why it's called the Middle East. Also, the area that Jesus just happened to live in, where the Hebrew people lived in, was on the major trade route between China and India and Egypt. So lots of traffic back and forth, merchants, people with all kinds of ideas moving through for centuries. Yes, there's also Greek and Roman and Egyptian ideas moving through as well. So while Israel was, religiously speaking, a Jewish land, a lot of other beliefs and thoughts have been moving through for a long time. So a couple years ago, I wrote an article for our newsletter, I think it was about 2011, and asked a question, did Jesus own a yoga mat? And I asked the question because of something Jesus did that I'm going to read to you in just a few moments. But again, I'll remind you that culturally and historically speaking, Jesus was a Jewish man. He was raised as a Jewish man. He lived as a Jewish man. He died as a Jewish man. He did challenge the way Judaism was being practiced in his time, but Jesus was very Jewish. And there's probably no more Jewish prayer than the Shema. When you see pictures of the Orthodox Jews in Jerusalem praying at the wall, at the Western Wall, you'll see they have little square, like a little one-inch square box strapped to their forehead. They have another one strapped on the back of one of their hands. And those little boxes contain the prayer that's called the Shema. They'll also find those that same prayer, if you go to a Jewish person's home, you may see a little thing nailed by the doorway as you go in. It's called a mezuzah. It's a little wooden holder that holds the Shema. Central prayer to the Jewish people. So here's what Moses says at one point in Deuteronomy, second telling. Shema Israel, that's where we get the word from. Shema Israel, hear Israel. The Lord our God is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your might. Keep these words I'm commanding you today in your heart. Recite them to your children. Talk about them when you're at home and when you're away, when you lie down and when you get up. Affix them as an emblem on your forehead. Put them as a sign on your hand and write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Shema Israel. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength. Now, here's an interesting thing about the very Jewish Jesus. when he quotes this prayer in Mark, he adds a fourth element. And then adds a little line from Deuteronomy reminding people that they need to not just love God, but also love one another. Here's what you read in Mark. One of the scribes came near and heard Jesus and the Sadducees arguing with one another. And noticing that Jesus answered them well, he asked Jesus, "Which commandment is first? Which is primary?" And Jesus answered, "The first is this, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength.' The second is this, 'You shall love your neighbor as yourself.' Nothing greater than these." Heart, soul, mind, and strength. Four elements, not three. Now, I know that the Bible is famous for having misprints and confusion, but it also shows up as four elements in the Gospel of Luke. Apparently, Matthew changes it back to three. Matthew, being a pretty conservatively Jewish gospel, would probably adjust that. This would be the equivalent of a traditional Christian minister deciding it was time to add another line to the Lord's Prayer. Probably would not be something that would be commonly done. Why in the heck might Jesus do something like this? Well, if you've read the teachings of the East of India, which predate Jesus by at least five centuries, seven, eight, nine, you'll find that there's four major pathways to God. Four major pathways to God. Heart, soul, strength, and mind. In the Sanskrit language of India, they're spoken of as bhakti, or heart, or devotion, raja, soul, or will, karma, strength, or action, and jnana, mind, or understanding. And what struck me a few years back when I first wrote about this was they line up perfectly with Jesus' four teachings, his modification of the Shema. So, is this something Jesus learned when he traveled to India? Was he really a yogi? I don't think he had to leave town to learn these things. Remember again, merchants and religious travelers from India and the Far East had been traveling through Israel for centuries, carrying not just merchandise, but ideas, talking to people in the area. The ideas would have been there, ideas from Buddhism and Hinduism and all those things that we see. Perhaps some of these ideas became available to Jesus, and he thought, you know, we need to add mind as one of the ways that we connect with God. Maybe he decided to weave that into his teaching of the Shema. Jewish teachers are famous for expanding on and expounding on what's in the scriptures. They usually just don't change them. It's usually commentary afterwards. So take just a moment to look at the words in the Eastern or Sanskrit form again. To love God with all our heart, bhakti, the yoga of union of devotion. Love your Lord your God with all your heart. That's something that not everyone always gets. I didn't get it for many years, but it has become very central to my spiritual practice. And I believe it may be some of what sets this congregation apart a little bit from some other congregations you might visit. People often comment that they feel that loving devotional energy present here. I know our musicians have certainly got it pretty deeply. So it may set us apart a little bit. To love the God with all your strength or might, as it says in some translations, would be karma yoga, the yoga of action. A lot of people feel the need to do something, to get active. Their spiritual practice has to include some type of service, directly connecting with God through people through service. There's the yoga of Raja Yoga, inwardly connecting with God through deep states of meditation. And finally, the element Jesus adds, which is Jnana Yoga, the yoga of the mind or the intellect. We see a lot of jnana energy, at least I do, in the writing of Charles Fillmore, very much someone who worked with that part of the path. So the question often is, okay, which part of the path should I be following? Which one should I be using personally? Well, as I look at these four paths, I see in them two sets of polarities, opposing opposites that need balancing. And when they're in balance, I think they actually work pretty well together. Bhakti, or devotional, works very well when it's balanced by jnana, or mind, intellect. When they're out of balance, not quite so well. Karma, or action, works very nicely when it's balanced by raja, inward meditation. When they're not balanced, you end up with problems. So basically, you have four parts to one pathway. It was only somewhere in the 90s that I actually discovered the pathway of heart or feeling, bhakti. Before that, I was pretty caught up in my mind and in the intellect, out of balance. The interesting thing is, back then, I didn't know I was out of balance. I wasn't sure didn't know the other part was there. I had grown up with Christian Science. That's what the Fillmores studied before they started Unity. And it's very helpful, and it ties in nicely. But as it is practiced and written, it's pretty much an intellectual approach to spirituality. Christian Science. They were trying to be scientific, mid-1800s. A few years before I discovered that heart pathway, I also discovered the need to balance my sort of active and restless nature, which I would call undirected karma yoga, with some raja, some inner meditation and quieting. So it makes perfect sense to me when Jesus reminds us that as we build our spiritual life, we need to incorporate all four ways of connecting with God. Not just listening to ideas on Sundays or reading interesting books and articles, jnana, head, mind, good part, but also engaging the heart, devotional practices, through singing, through prayer, through connecting with other people in spiritual fellowship. Or, maybe for some of us, it means not just doing all heart and just doing all devotional stuff, but also engaging the mind, the understanding, to deepen that awareness. For some people following these paths, or this path to move toward God, it'll mean not just going away in meditation, I'm gone, it's quiet in here, this is lovely, but also finding ways to actively support God in others, to do some karma-type action. Or, if you tend to go a little in the karma, the active way, the doing way, it might invite you to take a little time to balance yourself by going more inward for quiet. I find it interesting that the God of Israel is referred to by a whole bunch of different names in various Old Testament writings. It starts off with Elohim, which is plural, literally is the gods. Then you get things like Yahweh. In the actual prayer of the Shema, the God is called Yahweh Elohim. You also hear God referred to as Jehovah, or El Shaddai, or El Olam. If you go to some of the Old Testament writings that didn't make it into the scripture, you can even find comments or references to Yahweh and his Ashura, a male and female pairing of gods. But eventually, people put together the fact that it's all one God, that there is only one thing happening there. And so you get the Shema, the prayer that starts off, Shema Israel, hear O Israel. Yahweh Elohim, it's one thing. It may have masculine characteristics. It may have feminine characteristics. It may be as experienced as the God we find in the mountains, El Shaddai. Or it could be experienced as the timeless God, El Olam. But it's all the same God. As we would say, one power, one presence. Hear, O Israel, Yahweh Elohim, it's all one thing. It's all one thing. And even though the God may be called by different names, it's one God. Similarly, the pathways for experiencing or uniting with that one God, and of course uniting with God is yoga in the Eastern traditions, it can be seen as having four different parts. Jesus refers directly to these four from the Eastern tradition. Love the Lord with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, and all your mind. And by the way, remember to love your neighbor and yourself as you're doing that. After all, they're all part of that God too. So I bring all this up just to remind us that as we read these things, we're reading writings that are influenced by many cultures, but they seem to come together. And ultimately, what Jesus describes with his four ways to love the Lord your God are four parts of one great pathway. A pathway that leads to that one great presence that in the Hebrew tradition is referred to by many names, but yet just one presence. The article that I wrote a number of years ago, if you want to read more about it, I think Roger has that up on our website now. Did Jesus own a yoga mat? If he did, it was made in Israel. Anyway, I'll bring us to our affirmation for the week, which simply says, I am committed to and united with the love of God. Together we say, I am committed to and united with the love of God. And again, I am committed to and united with the love of God. One more time. I am committed to and united with the love of God. Let's close our eyes and let that thought settle in. Imagine if you just said that to yourself a few times a day. I am committed to and united with the love of God. I am committed to and united with the love of God. And then see how that shows up for you. Does it show up for you in feelings of devotion? Does it show up for you in ways that you can actively go out and do something demonstrating that? Does it show up for you in an intellectual or a mind understanding, an expanding understanding of what that is that you might be connected with? Or do you simply need to go inside, deep inside, into that quiet place, and invite that mind and that presence of God to show you where to start? Many different pathways for connecting with God. And I believe a need for a balance, all four to be present. That's what Jesus said. All your heart, all your strength, all your soul, all your mind. And as they come into balance in you, as these parts of this one path come into balance in you, then you begin to feel that presence and that spirit more and more deeply, in more and more ways. May we remind ourselves that in every single moment, we are connected with, united with, the allness of God, every part of it. The only thing asked of us is a little bit of commitment, of attention. And then we feel and we sense that connection. A little bit of commitment. A little bit of commitment. So we open our eyes and we just look at that thought and share it together one more time. I am committed to and united with the love of God. One more time. I am committed to and united with the love of God. And so it is.